Let's go out to St. Petersburg as we get to the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue. Ryan Rashog joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy.
Well, Shogger, anything new? What's the Marchand injury?
Yeah, it's a lower body injury. And it happened on the first day of their pre-tournament camp in Prague, and he missed pretty much the whole pre-tournament. And then once the tournament got underway here in St. Petersburg, he was up and running and good to go. But it's the same thing. He's tweaked it again, so it's a lower body injury. He was fighting it last game. He hurt it and tried to play through it and then couldn't. So what we're being told is that they expect him to play in the game against Germany tomorrow. So we think he's going to be good to go, but it's definitely to the point where it's a recurring injury, so we'll see.
Yeah, why would you – no offense. Why would you rush him in tomorrow's game? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it does – that's not a game where, yeah, like, wow, we need everybody in the lineup tomorrow night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just sort of what the word was today, but that makes some sense to give him a little bit more time. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, they've got – Max Domi was skating on that line with McDavid and Duchesne, so they've got a good option there. And then they got Sam Reinhart, who hasn't been playing a lot, that can sub in on that fourth line. So they've got enough guys right now. And then we'll see here what happens in the next few days if they end up adding.
What do you think they're going to add? Like, is it defense? What do they need? What do they want?
Yeah, they definitely need – I mean – they have a need on the blue line for sure. I mean, right now they got Matt Dumba running one of the power play units, and it's not good enough. So I think they could use a power play defenseman. My guess is it's going to be one of either Brent Burns or Ryan Ellis. I think if San Jose loses, there's a chance. I think they feel they might be able to get Burns. If Nashville loses, perhaps they can get Ellis, who's played for Hockey Canada before. So one of those two guys, potentially. Carl Alzner, although he's not as much of a power play guy.
Yeah, he's hurt, Shogger. I don't think there's any chance Alzner's coming. He didn't finish the game last night.
Exactly. So then that's what I was just about to say, that he's banged up, so that's not going to be a possibility. Hamonic is hurt. That's not happening. Now, I have not heard yet on Tavares. And it's kind of a little bit of a balancing act. They need to wait a little bit and give guys some time, but they only got so many spots they can add. And, you know, my guess is they're probably waiting to see what happens in that Dallas series as well, because I know they would love to add Jamie Benn if they could. So there's still some good players, and they have the luxury of being able to wait a little bit here. They don't have to do anything right away. So it's a little bit of a waiting game to see who springs loose, and then a little bit of a delicate balancing act for when you ask who and how that goes. So Brad Treliving, who's in the middle of trying to, you know, interview and potentially find a coach for his organization as well, and George McPhee, they'll be busy guys here the next couple of days.
It's interesting you say when to ask, because Corey Perry basically committed the day after the Ducks lost out, right? We see Washington and then the Capitals, three guys go to Russia right away. I think people, you know, organizations likely understand, you know, what's at stake here. They probably had conversations. I don't know, maybe you don't jinx it, and maybe you don't have conversations. I'm not sure how it works. But I'm guessing, the phone calls will have been made. And if there's a decision to be made, like, likely you'd want the guys to come in, and they obviously wouldn't be able to play Friday, but you'd probably want them in by Sunday at the latest, I would think.
Well, and it is a little bit more delicate than that, because so if you're Hockey Canada right now, I mean, there is a pecking order of who they would like to ask, who they would like to have, but you don't want to insult anybody either, right? So, for instance, right now, you got John Tavares sitting there, right? That would be a fantastic ad. But if you just basically make it clear that we'll wait till the end of the second round and then see what's available, and they have the ability to do that time-wise, although the series going seven games wasn't ideal for them. Well, now maybe you can grab Jamie Benn. And so I don't know, you have room to bring in both Tavares and Benn. And so do you go ahead and ask Tavares fresh off of a loss, or do you just say, hey, take a few days, think about it, we'll see what happens here in the next week, and we might be getting in touch. like you kind of bide your time and wait. And often, if you ask guys right after the loss, you might get some no's, whereas if you let it breathe for a few days then and let the loss sink in and guys sort of realize that they're done, you might get a different answer from them, you know, 48, 72 hours after their season ends than in the first 10.
Ryan Oshog from TSN joins us. Oshog, on a non-hockey note, although I guess it's kind of tied in a little bit because the World Championships are there this season in St. Petersburg. TSN producer Kevin Pratt wrote one of the best articles I've read in a long, long time about, you know, the national holiday in Russia that comes up on the 9th. And it's huge. And it goes back to, of course, you know, World War II and when it ended. And I was, like, reading the story, honestly, it was, like, it was difficult at times to just fathom that many people dying of starvation in Leningrad, which is now St. Petersburg, like 1.5 million people. And it just, you know, it's one of those things that we really don't talk about. Like, D-Day for us is great. And, you know, there's, you know, the bravery for all of the people to go through it. But people back home were virtually safe. They never had to, you know, sure, they had to lose loved ones, which is awful. But they didn't have to deal with what the Russians and people in Belarus had to deal with. And that article, to me, was one of the best articles.
Sure.
And it's kind of connected to talk, in a sense, because obviously if TSN isn't there, he's probably not writing that story. How much of it did you know before you read it?
Not very much. To be totally honest, I understood that it was the anniversary of the treaty being signed and the war coming to an end. But what I didn't quite understand was all the detail about the occupation. And that's what, you know, that's what KP did such a good job of. And for anybody who hasn't read it yet, it's on TSN.ca. I tweeted it out earlier. And this thing, it's really resonating. I mean, I was even chatting with some of the Hockey Canada people today, and they had all read it and were really impressed by it, and they encourage the players on the team to read it. I'm not sure if anybody did or not, but and you know what, this is awesome. I'm so glad Kevin did this, because, you know, for people who don't know him, he's a producer, he's a behind the scenes guy, he's incredibly talented. None of us knew he had this in him. He hasn't done this before, and so he was here in St. Petersburg producing the games with us. He's since gone to Moscow, but he just decided he had to just get this out, and he was so moved by what he saw. So really encourage you to read it. It's on TSN.ca, and I've tweeted out a link to it as well. But he talked in detail about exactly what it is that they are remembering here. And the occupation of Leningrad at the time, which lasted for a long, long, long time, took such a massive human toll on the population here. And I think the point that Kevin was trying to make with the piece was that, you know, we have our Remembrance Day, and we do many things at home to appreciate, you know, the men and women who lost their lives fighting for us. But this is different, because this fight was right on their front doorstep. This was happening right outside, and picture that on Canadian soil and what that would be like. And the occupation here that lasted so long, they basically bombed all the supply lines and took out any infrastructure that gave people a chance to provide for themselves, and millions of people starved to death. And so you go out into the street on that day, and you see people, just tens of thousands, walking through the street holding pictures. The March of the Immortal, Walk of the Immortal, I can't remember what it's called, but Kevin wrote about it. And it's just incredible. It's staggering to see. And then it was a very classy gesture by Hockey Canada. They wore Russia's version of a poppy for their game the other night. You might have noticed them on TV. They had them. I think the coaches had them on the bench. So it was pretty amazing to be here for this. I got to see some of it. Unbelievable to just fathom the number of people that suffered in that way. And Kevin does a really nice job of sort of putting it all out there, and he did lots of research, and there's lots of good detail there. And he had a dad that fought, a grandfather who fought in that war. So there was a personal touch there as well, but just really good stuff.
March of the Immortal Regiment is what it's called.
March of the Immortal, yeah, yes. Thank you for that.
1,000 people. It's fantastic. I just tweeted out the link if you want to see. You can go to tsn.ca as well. It's there. I highly recommend it. And it just illustrates how lucky we are for us and generations before, simply just to have the luck of the draw to be born in North America and to live there.
We've
never endured war on home soil like that, ever. And when you read that story, it's like, oh, my God. Like, there's... Like, what's going on right now in Fort McMurray is awful, and it's horrific. But, you know, other than the unfortunate car accident, there was only two deaths, and people are going to come back, and it's material things. You know, people aren't going to starve to death, 1.5 million of them. And, like, it's awful to read that, and I think it's great how they celebrate it. It was cool that Kevin took the time to do that. I just wanted to mention that. I know it's a sports show.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate
fantastic.
You doing that. And like, you know, and part of the point he made, too, is that, you know, we learn a lot as, you know, as kids. I mean, we know about the Holocaust and all the atrocities that happened through there. We know about Auschwitz. We're taught about these things. We're aware of them. But that was not part of my collective consciousness about, you know, an atrocity of the war. And this is, I mean, this is on a massive, massive scale. So it's not out of ignorance on our part. And that's the point Kevin makes. It's not that people don't know about this, and it's not out of ignorance. It's just we haven't been taught it. We haven't been... The history, unless you're a history buff and a World War II buff, you don't necessarily get into to this kind of stuff, you know, in North America and what we're taught. So, you know, for all of the time and the conversations that are had over the generations about things like Auschwitz and that sort of thing, this is on a pretty massive scale, too. So it's good to learn about it. It was very interesting to be here to watch it be memorialized the way it was. Very cool.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. So, Schauger, as the tournament goes along now, you've had a chance to see all the teams. Obviously, Team Russia gets a lot better with their additions. But is Canada still the favorite in your mind right now? Like, who do you think the way the playoff format's set up that might be a concern for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know they obviously have no interest in facing Russia in the quarterfinals, right? I mean, and the quarterfinals cross over. So they... want Russia to take care of business and finish high in their pool so that if they end up having to meet them, it'll be in a final or a semifinal. You know, and I haven't been able to, because the games are happening at the same time, I've only been able to keep a rough eye on the other pool, Group A, that's happening over in Moscow. But word out of there is, you know, Sweden is not super strong this year. I mean, the Czechs have one of the best records, and Canada dealt with them fairly handily in pre-tournament play. So, really, we've got Finland on this side. Canada's beaten the U.S. pretty good, and we've got Finland on this side as well. Now, that'll be a good game, Canada-Finland, when that one happens. I think Finland is probably as close to Canada as I've seen in any of the teams. Now, Russia will give them a good test, too. Especially now that they've added the guys that they've added. And Canada will probably load up with a guy or two here to try and match that.
Also, we did get a lot of texts, people congratulating you for running Line A out of town before he's even played for the Edmonton Oilers after your scouting report.
How did they manage that?
Yeah, well, when you asked, you said, well, you know, I don't really think he's a good skater. Obviously, it was classic. It gave me a really good chuckle. So now, there any, because we've seen guys, you know, Panarin's the name that obviously is best case scenario, right? Players who are unsigned by an NHL team. Are there any players in this tournament, Ryan, that you think are going to be NHL signees here in the next few weeks or months that fans maybe will be like, next year, hey, this guy might be able to play? Like, Panarin's obviously, I think, the extreme exception
yeah.
to come in and be that dominant, because we obviously could see Belov on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
But have you seen anybody that tickles your fancy you think that NHL teams might be going after?
I haven't yet. You know, I've seen a few NHL people around and had some conversations with them about that. And there isn't really that guy that I think we could put out there and say, you know, there's a guy that actually plays for France. He's a defenseman, 18. Ovechkin is his last name. Really mobile, moves around well. He's in his mid-20s, so he's developed. He's getting some looks. Some people are coming to see him. Everybody that I've talked to isn't necessarily sure that it makes sense. So my initial answer to that is not that I've seen. again, I'm not on the other side. I don't see those teams, and I don't know them nearly as well. And a lot of the scouts are spending time over in Moscow. I do know that. So I'm not sure if there's a guy or two over there that they might pluck out. But the teams that I've seen and the games I've called and the ones I've covered, I haven't seen any diamonds in the rough where you're going, boy, someone's got to grab that guy.
Shauger, get some sleep. We will chat with you tomorrow as Canada has another game. Appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. Sounds good. Have a good one.